fun. How's everybody doing this morning? Okay, that was like a three or four people that were good, and the rest was just kind of like, I ain't doing it today. How's everybody doing this morning? That's better. All right. Hey, can we give a big shout out to our dream team, everyone who's serving all across here today, all throughout the week, everyone that makes church happen, from the ushers to greeters, those in the parking lot, those who help us set up, kids ministry, worship team, production team, e-group leaders, everywhere all over the place, people are making church happen right here at Emerge Church, and we are so thankful for all of our dream team. Can we give our dream team one more hand? Thank you so much for all that you do, making it happen. Look at your neighbor and say, making it happen. Making it happen, making it happen. All right, I want to jump right in today because we got a lot of work to do. Last week we were in this part one of this Healthy Relationships sermon in this This Is Us series, a family series that we're doing. And I don't want to waste any time. I want to jump right into it today. And let's go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. We used this verse last week to kind of kick it off, and we'll use it again today just to tie it all together. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, it says, "Since God chose you to be holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." In other words, this is the wardrobe that we get to choose from right here, all right? Clothe yourselves, mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults. Somebody say, uh-oh. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. Did you hear that? You are called to live in peace. That's what God's calling you to live in. Amen. And always be thankful. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for our time that we have together this morning. I pray that the word that we share today is going to be instruction to our ears. And it's going to help us to build a solid family. And Lord, that's what I'm praying for here at Emerge, that we'll have solid families, godly men and women, incredible children, and families, God, that love you and pursuing your purpose. So Lord, today I'm asking for your help to communicate this message. Lord, I want to speak it in the right tone, and I want to speak it to the hearts of every person here. So Holy Spirit, today I ask for your help. I ask you to walk the aisles of this room, and open every mind, open every ear, and every heart to hear this. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Last week, I'm going to recap before we continue today. Last week, when we started this message, we gave the example of building a home. Cynthia and I are in the middle of a remodel right now, and thankfully the home that we have purchased, it was well built. And so the things that we want to do to it, the materials that we want to use, we want to make sure that we're using quality materials because we want it to last. And I think it's the same whenever we're trying to build a family, trying to build a home, that we want to have some quality in it so that it is going to last. I mean, it's cool to have it for a couple of years, but we want this thing to last for years and years and years to come. Amen? Come on, how many of you want your family to last a long time? You want a good family? You want to be high-fiving when you're like 79 years old? You know what I'm saying? You sit with your wife on the front porch drinking sweet tea, you're high-fiving and say, baby, we still got it going on. How many of y'all want that? Come on. Got to get fired up about this. It's going to be good. Some of y'all are like, I don't want to get old. I'm not getting old. Yes, you is. So you can have all the quality materials that you need, but if you just show up with the quality materials, nothing happens. They have to be put to work. Somebody's got to put it to work. And so to build a great family, it is going to take work. Amen? It's going to take some work. And listen, it's not just one person's job to do all the work. It is not just mama's job to do the work in the family. Amen? And it's not just daddy's job to do all the work in the family. The kids have a part as well. Everybody has a part of working to make our families incredible. And I believe that if we have some great qualities and we do the work, we're going to have some incredible families. Amen? So last week, as we kicked this sermon off about talking about healthy relationship in the This Is Us series, I just want to recap some of those for you real quick. These were the first five qualities that we talked about that we needed for relationships. Now, understand understand this. These are not just for marriages. These are for every single member of the family. So if you're a kid in here, this is for you. If you're an adult in here, this is for you. If you're a grandma in here, this is for you. If you're a nephew in here, this is for you. If you're a cousin in here, this is for you. And if you're that strange uncle, this is for you. Amen? Somebody in here must be the uncle. All right, so let's run through these real quick, all right? So the first five qualities that we talked about that are needed in family, the first one was affection. And affection is the ability to openly express verbal and physical affection to the satisfaction of that family member. In other words, I'm able to touch you and I'm able to express my thanks to you. I'm able to express my love to you. That is affection. We need some affection in our home. Some people say, well, I'm just not an affectionate person. You got some work to do. Can I hear a good amen right there? Got some work to do because your spouse needs some affection. Your kids need some affection. If you're a kid in here and you're like, don't touch me, I'm not affectionate, get over yourself, because at Thanksgiving, you're going to grandma's, she's going to kiss you on the cheek. I thought y'all would laugh at that. There was this lady back at our church at home. This lady, you know, and when you live in the South, it's just kind of fair game. People hug you and they kiss you on the cheek. And there was this lady back at church, and she wore this bright red lipstick, like really, really, really bright. And every Sunday, she would make it a point to find me, because I was one of the pastors on staff, and she would kiss me right here on my cheek. I got a beard now, so you wouldn't be able to see it. But back then, I had a little slick face, and so she would kiss me on the cheek, and Cynthia would be like, who are you kissing on? I'm like, first of all, I ain't kissing on nobody. This is somebody kissing on me. That was that lady. And so I would try to rub my face off and everything, but she was an affectionate person. Let's not go there, okay? Here's the next one, is empathy. Here's another quality, empathy. And that is the ability to empathize with others and focus on the needs and desires of others in your family. In other words, this isn't all about me. I'm going to look at some things through your perspective. Can you see how this could be healthy for you and your relationships with your family? And this needs to work in our marriages. This also needs to work when it comes for parents trying to look at things into their kids' perspective, because sometimes we just have one perspective, our own, but we don't realize they may be struggling. And can I flip the coin? Kids, you have to look at some things through your parents' perspective. Sometimes you may not understand why you were told no, but if you begin to look through it through their perspective, you would say, oh, now I see. And that would eliminate a lot of the disagreements and fights that we're having in our homes if we could just empathize a little bit, okay? Here's another one that we said. Another important quality is communication. And this is the ability to honestly and openly communicate. Watch this. In a gracious manner. Say gracious. In other words, I'm not trying to tell you off. I want to communicate in a gracious manner. I want us to be able to talk about our feelings. Sometimes we get the stiff arm. I don't want to hear it. But if we stiff arm all the time and we're not sure how this person is feeling, eventually what's going to happen is all those feelings that have been suppressed are just going to explode, and we're going to wind up with a mess in our family because I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. There has to be a safe place for people to be able to express their feelings in our families. Can I hear an amen? And so I believe that we need to create those spaces with your kids. You got to create a space that they can open up to you. And I hear parents say this all the time. My kids never, ever talk to me. Have you tried giving them an opportunity to say something without stiff-arming them, without finishing their sentences? Can we sit down with them and say, hey, what's going on in your life? And back off a little bit and just listen to them. With our spouses, can we do that? That's why communication is so important, and I believe that's going to make our families healthier. Here's another one. It's confrontation. And some of you are really, really good at this one. Confrontation is the ability to complain and confront your family member. Watch this. In a gracious, say gracious, in a gracious and timely manner. This is not timely, by the way, where you don't say anything for like 6 years. And then one day out of the blue, you're in the middle of one of those home improvement stores. You know what I'm saying? And you can't decide on a color or a tile. This did not happen. I'm making this up, okay? Don't think this is us. It's not. It's not us. And you didn't get your way. And that's where it comes out. I hadn't told you this, but it always happens. And next thing you know, it's just dropping bombs. And next thing you know, 6 years worth of stuff starts coming out right there in the middle of the Home Depot. And somebody down the aisle is pressing that button for the, for the associate to come help. Because y'all are making a scene. This is the kind of stuff that happens because we don't know how to confront. We don't know how to have these kinds of conversations. And I understand because there is an element of fear that is there. And listen, this is the stuff that's existing in our marriages. This is the stuff that's existing between parents and kids and parents and brothers and sisters, siblings. These are the things because when we confront, we got this little southern attitude that comes with us that feels like we got to tell somebody off so they know how we're feeling. And really, we never get to express our feelings. We're just really good at expressing our pride. Think about the atmosphere in our homes and what it's doing to our house because we got this little attitude that's going. And these are the things that makes our kids feel a little unsure about the future of our families because they feel the tension in the house. These are the things that can definitely change the temperature of a home and make it eventually hostile when really we wanted this place to be home. Am I right? I want this to feel like home. Well, there has to be a place for confrontation. And one of the things we said last week with confrontation is this: to avoid the super rebuke. And the super rebuke is where you have just piled up everything, anything bad that has ever happened with you and that person in your lifetime, and collected it and dumped it all in that one conversation. That's wrong. If I was God, I would call that sin, by the way, but I'm not God, but I would lean that way, okay? And so another thing that we talked about that we needed that was a quality was feedback. Feedback is the ability to receive complaints, correction, and input in a gracious manner. Say gracious. Gracious. See, you got to say that word gracious because a lot of us will agree with most of that whole little sentence there and then skip the gracious part and we just Pastor Wade said, let it fly. Confront, you know what I'm saying? I need some feedback. You're doing terrible. You know what I'm saying? No, it needs to be gracious without being defensive and without being hostile. So it's one thing to give feedback, but it's another thing to receive feedback. Here's a good way to get feedback. Hey, how am I doing? And some of you are like, I would never ask that question. There are husbands right now that are like, if I ask that question, I'm getting a super rebuke. And we ain't going there. There are kids that are saying, if I ask mom, hey, mom, how am I doing with this? She's going to bring up a whole nother thing. And so we don't do it. And so we don't even know how well we're doing. And when we don't know how well we're doing, we can continue to do the same wrong things over and over and over. But because we never communicated about it, because there was never a confrontation about it, we keep doing the wrong thing. And that leads to conversations that you have with a friend that says, I don't know what's wrong with them. They always do this. She always this. They always, he always, they always this. Well, have you ever talked to them about it? Well, no. Well, why are you talking to me? I can't do anything. You should talk to them. Well, I don't know how to talk to them. Gracious. Say gracious. Okay, so today we're going to keep going. Number 6 through 10. 6 through 10 qualities of emotionally healthy relationships. Number 6, this one's important. Number 6 is responsibility. Responsibility. And I've always thought responsibility is just a really, really big word. And it carries a lot of weight. And this is what responsibility is. It's the ability to take responsibility for your behavior and say you are sorry with sincerity and grace in a timely manner. So here's the question. Can you say you are sorry? Can you say, I was wrong? You hear the crickets right now. So quiet in here. Can you admit that you were wrong? Can you admit it to your spouse? Can you admit it to your kids? Can you admit it to your siblings? See, even as I've gotten older, I have 3 brothers, and I like to think that I'm right all the time. And most of the time, I am. And there's the rare occasion where I'm not. But I have to be willing to admit that I am wrong. In fact, this is something that I've learned, especially from parents. Like, your kids would like to hear 2 things from you. Yes, they love hearing yes from you. And they would also like to hear you say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. You see, you thought I was going to say I love you. They know that's given. But if you were to say yes to them, find a way to say yes, and tell them I am sorry, it would completely change the atmosphere of your house. It would. In our marriages, if we could just say, you know what, I was wrong. And can we as the church, can y'all help me with this? Can we as the church get away from this whole mama is always right, the wife is always right thing? Because listen, I know I'm a man, my wife's sitting right here on the front row, but I need you to know that mama isn't always right. You can clap for that. I'm with you, bro. Listen, but and the reason I say that is because we're creating this culture where we want to be honorable and we want to empower women and moms and wives and all this stuff. But if we're not careful, we're going to turn this thing into something it doesn't need to be. And we're going to strip men of their power and their authority in the home. And they're going to step back and let mama take the lead and do everything. And next thing you know, she is stressed out. She is mad. And she's going to start using all that authority and power to do whatever she feels, notice what I said, is best for the entire family. And it's going to be missing some key components that is needed. And I want you to know that is not the way God intended for it to be. That's why we've got to get away from that and have some godly families and understand I need my wife and my wife needs me. I need her to be a good mom and she needs me to be a good dad. We need each other. And listen, you don't believe me on this? Go talk to somebody that's been divorced and is trying to do it by themselves now. They will sit there and tell you, listen, we need all the help we can get. This is so important that we understand that I do not have to live my family life the way that the world lives this family life, because God's got a better plan for this. Amen? And this is where we've got to take responsibility. And I have to be responsible enough for my family to understand that I have a part to take. I have a role to play. As a husband and a father, I have a role. As a wife and a mother, you have a role. As a child in a family, you have a role. As a brother or a sister, we all have roles. And we have to own them and be responsible for them. And when we own our roles and we can admit that we're wrong, I believe we're really taking steps to becoming healthier families. Amen? This is what it's going to take, y'all. Some responsibility. So watch this. Fights in a family, in a family in general, can be resolved with three words. I was wrong. Three words. I was wrong. Practice it with me. One, two, three. I was wrong. I see somebody not saying it. I was wrong. Say it louder. I was wrong. Now look at your spouse next to you and tell him, oh no, come on now. See, we were doing so good. As soon as I said that, like, she was wrong. He was wrong. All right, so how to improve? How to improve? Be more proactive to recognize where you went wrong and own up to it. Be quick to say, I was wrong, I'm sorry. Be quick about it. Don't let it linger for days and days, because they know you were wrong, by the way. They know you were wrong. Be quick, be proactive, and recognize where you went wrong, and own up to it. So this is what it sounds like. Hey, I need to talk to you. Remember the other day when this happened and I said that? I was wrong. And you want to talk about speechless moment? Speechless. I just want you to know, I was wrong. I love you. Have a good day. And get out of there as quick as you can. Shocking. They won't even know how to respond. Like, you thought you were getting the super rebuke? They don't know. They don't know how to do that. Like, if your kid, imagine this, even a younger child, imagine a six-year-old child coming up to you and say, hey, mom, dad, the other day, I was in my room, and I got it covered up right now, but I wrote my name in marker on the wall, and I was wrong, and I'm sorry about that. First of all, the initial shock. You don't know what to say, and so they just feel like, oh, it's a great day. Can we get ice cream now? And you're just like, where? Just like, you don't know what to do. It's something about whenever we can own up to what we did wrong, how it brings health into our lives. Maybe that's why it says, what is it in the book of James? If we confess, that it brings healing. Can we just be quick to admit, hey, I was wrong. I shouldn't have said that. If you go out to eat with a group of friends and you put your foot in your mouth and you say something crazy to your spouse that embarrasses her, And you know it because you can read her body language, because she's staring you down. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm sorry, y'all. I shouldn't have said that. I was wrong. Pass the ketchup, please. It would eliminate that awkward ride home where it's really, really quiet. You know what I'm saying? It would eliminate that. Because when you bring that home, it's going to affect the rest of the house. These are the little bitty things. Take responsibility. Own it when you're wrong. Here's number seven. Service. Service, okay? We got responsibility. Number seven is service. And this is the ability to serve and give to others who are not reciprocating. To give to others who are not reciprocating. There are going to be times where you're going to do stuff and nobody's going to reward you for it in your own house. Like if you're a kid and you clean your room, don't expect us to like give you a gold medal. This is just what you do. If you're a husband and you wash the dishes one time, big deal. Hold up. Hold up. If you're a wife and you cut the yard. Hey, babe, I cut the yard today. What you been doing? You were out watching the game. I was in the heat cutting the grass. Okay, it had to be done. It's like folding clothes. It just has to be done. These are just normal things that we do. And it's almost like we got to give awards out for every. It's like participation trophies. Should we go there? Because I don't do that. That's just what it takes. I'm glad. Thank you for folding those clothes. Do the next batch too. Because it has to be done. And why do we do it? Because we want us to be good. And the sooner we get all of this out of the way, the sooner we get to go do all the things that we love to do. So let's just knock it out. Come on, everybody. Everybody jump in. Everybody do a little something. This is called serving. So watch this in John 13. Because, you know, you think Jesus just shows up on the scene and just starts bossing people around. But watch, he says, and since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you're to wash each other's feet. I've given you an example to follow. Do as I've done to you. So understand that the way that we carry ourselves in our family, this is how we're going to be. So if we serve, this is going to be our family. Our kids are going to pick it up if we do it. Not just do what I say, but do what I do. So watch this. When it comes to serving, this is who we are. This is what we do. This is us. We help each other. We take care of the responsibility. So watch this. Here's a few enemies of serving. You ready? I want to go here today. Here's one enemy, scorekeeping. And this is what scorekeeping is. I do this, 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 and this. And all you do is this around here. That's scorekeeping. I'm going to tell you what that's going to lead to. Silence. That's going to lead to a future super rebuke. That's going to lead to other issues because what we're doing is we're saying, I'm more important than you are. You're not carrying your weight around here. See, there's a better way to have that confrontation. There's a better way. That confrontation could be away from that situation. And when you say, hey, listen, I'm really overwhelmed right now. I got a lot on my plate. And I would really appreciate it if you can step it up around the house and help do some things. And that works with a spouse and that helps with kids as well. No, and listen, if you're a kid in here and you're overloaded with homework, this is a good opportunity for you to say, hey, listen, I'm overwhelmed with a lot of stuff at school right now. And I could really, really use some help. And as parents, let's be understanding of that and try to help them. But the only thing is, if you're that young person, you're asking for help, if we knock on the door and open it and you're on your phone, cold bust it, it's over, empty the dishwasher, let's go, go wash the car, get off the phone. You know what I'm saying? Like, but scorekeeping is an enemy of serving. It happens everywhere. It happens in families. Happens in church, happens in the community. There are people who walk around like, I got to do everything. Listen, if your attitude has become, I have to do everything, they are not the problem. That would have been a good one right there and you missed it. They are not the problem because our attitudes have now shifted. And watch this. Usually it's a person who's in that authority position in the home. And now we're adjusting the thermostat. And we're like, I'm going to turn the heat up in here. I'm going to make it hot. And what do? We start affecting the atmosphere of our home and make people mad at each other. Here's another one. Selfishness is an enemy of serving. Where I got to do my thing. It's that time of the year. You know what that means? Well, that time of the year comes all the time. We still got things to do. And then rigid roles. And this is some old tradition where I'm the man, I do this, you're the wife, you do that. And can I tell you, in all the premarital counseling that I do now with people, we try to shatter all that stuff because we can eliminate a lot of stuff down the road if we could just understand that everybody has a part to play in our homes. That's how we are here at church. That's how we are at home. Everybody's got a part to play. And if everybody does their part, it all gets done. Amen? And if that means you're a dude and you're washing dishes, guess what? You're just going to have soft hands. It's all right. And if you're a lady and you like to get outside and do the work, get out there and do the work. And if you're a dude, you don't like getting out there and do the work, turn on SportsCenter and fold some clothes, baby. I mean, it just works. Look, I love to cook. I'm not going to lie. I love to cook. And while I'm cooking, I'm watching SportsCenter. Multitask, baby. It just works for us. And you got to find what works for you. So how to improve when it comes to service? And we talked about it a little bit. Stop scorekeeping. Stop scorekeeping. Tear down the scoreboard and realize that, you know what, no matter what, this has to be done. Can you help me? Amen? Amen. Service. Here's another one. This is good that this one follows. Number 8, forgiveness. Forgiveness. I think this one is the toughest one in families. I do. Because we never, ever expect anyone to do anything that would hurt us. But yet it happens. And I just want to tell you why it happens today. Okay? And this is going to be life-changing, groundbreaking for you. The reason that it happens is because we're all human beings. And we have this nature, and it's a sin nature. In other words, we don't have to be taught to do wrong. It comes naturally to us. We have to be taught to do right. And so it comes naturally to us. I mean, if you want to feel better about your family, go read about the first family. Because here's Adam and Eve trying to start this whole thing and have these two boys. And I know your kids fight. But they had one son murder another. Now, I want to be serious about this because you can feel better about your family in a hurry. But I just need you to know this is what we can literally be doing inside our family. We could be killing each other with words, killing each other with looks. Come on, somebody. We got to talk about body language, too, because a lot of times you can say nothing and say a whole lot all at the same time. Am I right? Like, I know how to look at my kids and communicate with them, and they know what's up. My wife knows how to look at me and communicate stuff, and I know what's up. And y'all know what's up, too. It's that look. And so we've got to get better at this whole thing of forgiveness. And this is what we have to realize. Wait a minute. Who am I to think that I have never hurt anybody? Like, I want to go there. Who am I to think that I have never hurt anybody? I want to be forgiven. And if I want to be forgiven, why won't I forgive others? Like, we're all in the same boat. Like, we've all hurt people and we've all been hurt. And forgiveness is so hard because scorekeeping is involved. Like, think about it. I need to know if they're really sorry. Like, he said I was wrong, but I need to see if he really, really means it. We'll see what happens this weekend. We'll see. And it's almost like we want it to happen so that we can be right with our predictions. Are y'all understand what I'm saying? Like, how far we've gotten into this whole idea of unforgiveness? So this is what forgiveness is in the context of family. It's the ability to process anger, offenses, and disappointments in a timely and gracious manner. In a gracious manner. In a timely, meaning this, forgiveness is going to take time. So if I'm asking for forgiveness, it's not just, hey, son, I was wrong, I'm sorry, and everything's all good now, let's go to game. Because it's going to take some time to restore the trust in that relationship. So we just want to get it back to good. What do we got to do to get it back to good? Let's just hurry up and get it back to good. That takes a little bit of time to trust again. It takes a little bit of time to heal. And for us who's asking for forgiveness, we have to give that time. And for the person who is being asked, hey, will you forgive me? It's understanding that, hey, I can't sit in this position forever and hold this against them. See, I got to give you both sides because we just want to represent the victim and just say they have a right to feel the way they do for the rest of their life. Not true, because Jesus went to the cross to heal, to save, to forgive once and for all. And there are a lot of people that are like, I don't know, Jesus, I'm holding out. And Jesus is like, what are you waiting on? It's already paid for. It's already paid for. And so we have to understand, I got to ask for forgiveness, but I also have to be willing to give it. Be willing to give it. And there's that verse where Peter asked Jesus, he said, so Jesus, how many times do I forgive someone? Like seven times? Evidently somebody had done something to him seven times. And he's kind of like, I'm at my limit right here. Seven times. Jesus said, no, 70 times seven. That's like 490 times. That means these people get that many more chances to do something to me. That's what it feels like when you're in that position. But really what Jesus is saying is just be a forgiving person. So watch this. If we're going to have a quality about our family, what if it could be said in our home that, you know what, this is a very forgiving family. Think about that. Think if that's what our spouse would say. Describe your spouse in a couple of words, and one of the words they would use would be forgiving. Wouldn't that be incredible? That's who Jesus is, by the way. That's who he is. So if we want our families to be like Jesus, then we have to be forgiving. Yeah, I need it, but I also have to give it. Can you give it? So watch this. How do I improve in the area of forgiveness? Refuse to bottle up frustration and offenses. Instead, first bring them to God. God, I need help with this. Struggling in this area with this person in my family. And maybe you're a child in here, you got some forgiveness issues with a parent. Or maybe it's a husband and wife, maybe it's brothers, maybe it's sisters, maybe it's a marriage. But there's some forgiveness issues. First place, God, I need your help forgiving them. I don't know if I can do it. Like it's okay to pray that. God, I don't know if I can tell them, I don't know if I can say I forgive you to this person. So I need your forgiveness to flow through me because I don't have it to give to them. I'm helping somebody here today. I don't have forgiveness to give them, but you do. So I'm going to open my heart to your forgiveness so that not only will I receive it, but I can also give it. That's the healthy flow of forgiveness. I receive it from God, not just for me, but so I can also give it to others. So watch this. This is the argument. So does that mean I just let people do whatever they want and hurt me anytime? Like somebody's got to do something about that to stop them. Agreed. Agreed. Somebody's got to stop them. But here's the thing. It's probably not your place to stop them. Here's why. Because we're not God. I'm going to throw one verse, and some of y'all are about to get really excited right here. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. See right there, some ladies just like, praise God, that's my verse for the day. Calm down now. We don't want to kill people. Calm down. This is what I mean by that. God's better at dealing with people than we are. So when you forgive somebody, watch this. Number one, it kind of makes it hard for them. It's kind of hard for them to believe that you would actually do that. Because they understand the scope of it. And so, yeah, they do feel the repercussions of you having to forgive them. And it puts them in a state of mind where they realize, I need to be careful with this person. Unless that person is just completely calloused. Okay? And so here's the thing. You say, what do I do with a callous person? Forgive them, but don't trust them. Here's why. See, forgiveness isn't for them. Forgiveness is for you. I forgive them for me. Because this is the whole idea with unforgiveness. And I've heard this. I want to pass it on to you. Unforgiveness is drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. I'm going to drink this, and I'm going to wait for them to die. And all we're doing is hurting ourselves. You want to find freedom? Forgive. Forgive yourself. Forgive others. So watch. First, I go to God. But here's another thing that I would say. Go to somebody and ask them to help you through that process. Ask someone to help walk you through the process of forgiveness. Usually in families, that tension can create, I mean, it could be great. And we don't know, because a lot of times our attitude is right along with what we want to say. I forgive you, but let me just tell you. You know what I'm saying? That little tagline on there, let me just tell you. You ain't ever going to do that to me again. Get somebody to say, hey, I need to talk to you. And this would be a great conversation with your e-group leader. I have this issue with a person in my family, and I know I need to forgive them. Can you help walk me through that process? Because I found it's better to have somebody who's on the outside of your feelings helping you rather than somebody who's on the inside. Amen? Because you're going to have people that are like your BFFs that's going to want to go and like find them in the middle of the night and do things to them for you. And you don't need that. Like, I don't need you to agree with me that what they did was wrong. I need you to help me to forgive them. You know what I'm saying? And if you want to be a good friend to somebody, help people forgive people. Okay, let's get off of that one. That's a sermon in and of itself. Here's number 9. The next one is vulnerability. Vulnerability. And this is what this is. It's the ability to be vulnerable and reveal weakness without fear and shame. It's the ability to be vulnerable and reveal fear and shame. Come on. I can reveal my weakness. I can reveal my fear, and I'm not shameful about it because I just can't do it. And this one's hard for men. This one's really hard for men because we want to present ourselves as having it all together. And like, I don't have a weakness. But in reality, we all have weaknesses. Look at your neighbor and say, you got a weakness. It's amazing. I wish I could video this because like when I tell y'all to say stuff, like that one spouse is thinking about it, but the other one's like, I am not going to tell her that. You have a weakness. You do. Hey, kids, in case you didn't know it, as parents, we have weaknesses. Hey, parents, in case you didn't know it, your kids have weaknesses. They are not perfect, and they're never going to be. And as a parent, you're never going to be perfect. I'm going to help a mama. You're never going to be perfect. I'm going to help a dad. You're never going to be perfect. And you don't even have to. You just need to be the best that you can be. And when you can't hit the mark, say, I was wrong. Amen? Just tell them, I was wrong. I'm sorry. This is part of what vulnerable is. It's like, man, I blew that. I messed that up today. One of the things that's really interesting, and if you want some input on what happens on Sunday during the sermon, you should talk to my son, Elijah. Because Sundays on the way home, he usually rides home with me, and I'll ask him, so E, how was it today? And he'll say, well, there was that one part where it was really, really good, and there was that one part, I don't know, Dad, you were kind of struggling. Need a little bit of help right there. You should have said this, or you should have said, and it's kind of like I'm getting coached by my own son. And there are some Sundays where I was like, man, I know, man, I bombed that part. That was just really, really bad. And then it just kind of gives him a little more permission to say more. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, it's interesting at times because there are some Sundays where like, Dad, you crushed it today. I'm like, that's right. Let's go eat. Okay. But the vulnerability is just, it's, let me say it like this. It's realizing that my pride is not going to help us. That the appearance of having it all together is going to hurt us as a family. Now, that doesn't mean you just walk around letting it all hang out like you don't care. No, that just means that I have some things to work on, and I can admit it. I can just only see how amazing this could be in families where, imagine a parent who's has tension with their son or daughter would say, you know what, I'm working on some things. This is an area of weakness for me. I'm working on it, and I'm just going to ask for some patience right now. I'm working on it, though. Think about how that just lowers the temperature in the home. Are y'all grabbing what I'm saying today? Like, in the marriages, just think if we could just say, you know what? I'm just not really good with those words of affection. But I'm going to work on it. And I'm going to need some feedback. But listen, I'm not that guy that was in the movie that you like. I'm not that guy, but I'm going to work at it. Can I just say this? That you just said a whole lot when you just said that. You said a whole lot, meaning this. You said you connected with that person's heart because you got real. Last semester, Cynthia and I were doing a couples e-group, and we talked a lot about marriage relationships. And one night in our e-group, what we did was we had each spouse admit, well, let me back up. You had to tell your spouse what their strength was. You're strong in this area. And then you had to tell your spouse what one of your weaknesses was. Can I tell you, that night was incredible. Like, people were crying. I mean, it was just a powerful night. You walked away from there like, I love being married. Like, that's how you walked away from it. It's like, this is awesome. I just told her I was weak, but I'm the man now. You know, like, it's just something about that vulnerability. And I think that we should be able to be vulnerable in our families, especially as believers, because there's a lot of grace here. Amen? Because Jesus is here. And so because the grace of God is here, there's the ability to forgive. There's the ability to heal. There's the ability for restoration. There's the ability for forgiveness. And so let's work at being vulnerable. So watch this. A lot of time, men and sons, they're too macho to be vulnerable. Okay? And a lot of time, women and daughters, they're a little bit too mistrusting to be vulnerable. In other words, I don't trust you enough to tell you how I feel. This is at our house. Like, think of that. This is the thing that makes me look at this and say, we got to do better. We can do better. Because in our homes, that should be the safest place for us to be able to communicate our weakness. Because watch this. They already know anyway. They already know. So why can't we just own it and say, hey, listen, this is my area of weakness. So how do I do this? How do I improve? Tell that family member a weakness you see in yourself that you've never revealed or always felt uncomfortable sharing. So watch this. It can sound like this. You know what? I've never raised a teenager before. Imagine telling your son or daughter this. I've never raised a teenager before, and I don't know how to do all this, but I'm going to work hard at it. I'm going to learn, and I'm going to get better at this. Think of that. Think about how that just changes the temperature of a home. In a marriage, hey, listen, I've never been married for 23 years before. I've never done this before. But I'm going to keep working at it because I want us to make it. I want us to last. And so if whatever it takes for us to make it, I'm going to keep doing it. Are y'all grabbing what I'm saying? Notice that the mood. You see, it's a soft answer which turns away wrath. All I'm trying to do is just communicate. And listen, I have to know, like we talked about last week with communication, you have to know the time to communicate, because when you're in the middle of a big argument and fighting and you're trying to like do all this smoochy, like get over it kind of stuff, smooth it over, that's not the moment because it's too hot. You need to let this thing calm down, let all the emotions settle, and then go back to it and say, hey, can we talk about what happened yesterday? Did you see what I'm saying? It's just being smart about this. So vulnerability. Here's the last one. And this one's a lot of fun. And this is joy. I believe joy needs to be a quality that we're building our home with, that we're building our family with, and there should be some joy, okay? This is what joy is. The ability to be joyful and faith-filled in the midst of difficulty. It's the opposite of being cynical, fatalistic, and negative. The ability to be joyful and faith-filled in the midst of difficulty, meaning this: I can still enjoy us, our family, even though we got that thing going on. I want to say that again. We can still go on date night, even though we argued about this a while ago. Come on, somebody. And the whole I don't feel good thing, that's got to go. I mean, I want to preach now. Supposed to be talking about joy, but listen, there's a lot of people who are psyching their spouses out, psyching their kids out with all this stuff because they just don't want to do things. Listen, family is supposed to be fun. Supposed to be a lot of fun. Listen, my kids laugh at us so much, it is unreal. They don't even go to bed on time. Ever. Never, ever. And you're stressing out because your kids were like 3 minutes late going to bed. Mine's like 2 and 3 hours late, okay? Might want to go find another church if that bothers you. I don't know. Because we got people in our house that cut up and we laugh. And we have a lot of fun. We laugh at each other. We laugh with each other. We pick on each other, and we get away with it. And when we push it too far, we apologize. Because we want our house to be full of joy. And this is what I've learned. A house full of joy is not a house that's free of difficulties. See, we're waiting for everything to go away before we can finally say, I'm enjoying this. But you know what I enjoy? I enjoy that when we have the difficulties, how we work through it together. And we get through it. And we're high-fiving after we're saying, we made it. Oh, it was ugly, but we made it. Thank God. Thank God we didn't lose that battle. Thank God we made it through. Are you grabbing what I'm saying? And so we could still enjoy it even though there are things that are going on. And I want you to hear this. You see, people are confusing joy and happiness. And happiness usually it's like a reaction to something immediate. Like tell your kids we're going to get ice cream today. They get happy. And then when they get there and they don't have the kind they like, they're no longer happy. Are you grabbing this? Because it's a temporary thing. Joy, though, is eternal. Because joy doesn't come from those things. Joy comes from Him. See, I can have joy because He lives in me. By the way, joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit produces it in your life, not other people. See, that's good preaching right there. Because that same kid, I want you to notice, that same kid, that same spouse that made you happy on Tuesday will aggravate the mess out of you on Wednesday. Come on. Why are we clapping so much for that one? It's like, yeah. We shouldn't be clapping for that. We should be like, man, we got to work on that. But the joy comes from, watch this. This is us. This is our crazy family, man. And we're going to have a lot of fun. And we're going to live with purpose. We're going to do something for God with our lives. With you and your, listen, I know the dynamics of siblings. I have three brothers and they are all crazy. I mean, just crazy. You say, you shouldn't talk about your brothers like that. You don't know them. And if they were up here saying, they would tell you I was crazy. But you already knew that. So it's not really a big deal. And there's tension. Try to plan a family gathering. There can be tension because I want to give the super rebuke. I'm weak. I'll tell you, I'm weak. I want to super rebuke them. But I'm gracious. I'll let Cynthia tell them. Like, here, you got to handle this. I'm about to lose my mind on these people. We can have joy, though, in our families, even though there's difficulty. If you got a difficult child, you can still enjoy that child. See, they're not limited just to that one issue. There's more to them than that. That spouse that has that one issue, there's more to them than that. You see, I'm preaching now. That brother, that sister, there's more to them than that one issue. Can we get our eyes off of the one issue and see the person? And here's why I say that. Because I don't want people looking at me and just seeing one issue. I want them to see, watch this, I want them to see me. I want them to see me. And I think when we start seeing each other, think of this, husbands and wives. When you see your spouse as the person that you fell in love with, when you see that kid that's driving you nuts as the person that made you a mama or a dad, see, it starts changing your mindset towards them. You start looking at them and you recall some moments where there was joy. And what's so hard for us in our lives today is because we've seen so much brokenness in families, we're so careful that we can't enjoy it because it's almost like we're walking through a minefield and I got to be careful where I step. Can I just say this? Keep stepping in faith. Keep walking that walk. With that child, keep walking that walk. With that parent, keep walking that walk. Maybe they're away from God. Keep walking. Keep praying. Keep believing. For that marriage, keep praying. Keep believing. Maybe you're single and you're hoping to be married one day. Keep walking. Keep praying. Maybe you're a single mom and you're raising a kid. Keep walking. Keep praying. It's a faith walk. And listen, as long as I'm in His presence, I have access to joy. As long as I'm in His presence, I have strength to make it through this difficulty. As long as I have access to His presence, y'all about to drive me crazy, but the Holy Spirit gives me some endurance, aka patience. Are you grabbing what I'm saying? Because naturally, I can't do this. Because naturally, I'm selfish. Naturally, it comes natural to us. And you don't have to be 3 years old to be selfish. You could be 33. You could be 63. You can be 36. You could be 14. Be 29. It comes naturally to us. If we're going to enjoy family, watch this. See it the way God sees it. Because God sees a lot more potential in your families than what you do. God sees it. I believe these qualities that we're talking about today can help us have some incredible homes. So watch this. The atmosphere in the home rises and falls on the joy of its leaders. If you're stressed out all the time, your family's going to be stressed. If you're mad all the time, they're going to be mad. You know, it's funny. I'm watching my kids get older now, and they're reacting to things the way I react, and I don't like that. I don't. It makes me feel like I got work to do. Here's another thing. When the leaders are joyful, the home is happy. Let's stop looking for external things to give us the joy that only God can give us. Amen? So how do I improve this? This is where we wrap up. Practice gratitude. Practice gratitude. Learn to say two things you are grateful for before you issue one complaint. See, you don't realize in all these how to improve, I'm balancing things out. Because some people they feel like they have permission now just to start, like, oh, I'm a confront. That might be the only thing you heard out of the whole 2 weeks that we preached it. I'm a confront. I'm going to confront everything. My kids do something, I'm confronting them. That's my word. It's my word for the year, confront. Bring some gratitude. Hey, I want to talk to you about something. Thank you for taking care of that. Change the atmosphere of our home and make it more enjoyable. Let's bow our heads this morning. Lord, today we need your help. We want our families to look like Jesus. And in our culture, there's been a lot of ideas, opinions, thoughts about families. And it's taken on a nature that has been conclusive of brokenness, selfishness, because people have been hurt, people have been scarred in families. But Father, you gave us families to enjoy. And Lord, that's what I'm praying, that as we've heard these qualities of these relationships, Father, we're going to work on them, and that you're going to change the tone of our homes. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Wade, I want you to pray for me, pray for my house, my family. We want to have a joyful home. We want to have a house that is thriving, raising godly kids, being a strong man, strong woman of God. Maybe you're in a place where you need some grace right now because you're feeling overwhelmed. Maybe you are that single parent, and maybe financially the load is really heavy and you can feel it. It's affecting how you're talking to your kids. Maybe you're just stretched right now because work isn't what you thought it was going to be, and it's affecting your joy, and you're bringing that home, and it's affecting the mood of your house. Maybe you're a business owner, and right now you just it's almost like you got to be pedal to the metal to get everything done. You just don't have the time to give to your family that you really, really want to give, and you could see how it's affecting them. But yet emotionally, mentally, physically, you're just out of energy. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, pray for me, pray for our family, I want you to stand this morning. I just want to pray over you today. I feel the grace of God in this room. I sense the Holy Spirit is moving. See, you might be sitting here today and you're just saying, I can't. I just can't anymore. I'm overwhelmed. Pastor Paul mentioned it earlier, Philippians 4, I can through Christ who strengthens me. I can. Maybe you're just starting with a new family and you're hoping for the best. But there are some things in your past that makes you believe that, is this going to happen to me? Today, I just want to pray for you. Come on, lift your hands all across this room. Father, today I pray over every person standing, over every family represented here today. And Father, you know the state of each of them. You know where they're at. You know the ones that are struggling. You know the ones that are thriving. But regardless of that, we know, Father, that your strength is available to us all because we all need it. We all have weaknesses and we need you. And I'm praying on their behalf. I'm praying over them today that you're going to strengthen them, that our marriages are going to be strong. You're going to restore relationships between parents and children. I'm praying for sibling relationships to be restored and healed. I'm praying, God, that there will be health in our families, that our communication is going to be healthy. We'll be able to confront with grace, but we'll also be able to appreciate one another and show affection. Father, today I'm asking that your grace will cover every family and every person in here today and cause our families to look like what you plan for them to be. And Father, I pray for forgiveness to flow. God, where there has been wrong that has been done, where there has been hurt, where there has been separation, where there has been pain, Father, I pray for healing today. I'm praying for restoration. I'm praying, God, that you will help our eyes to see the possibilities of what you can do in our homes. And I'm asking you to do it. Father, we understand the qualities. These are the materials we need. Now we need the work. We need the work of the Holy Spirit, but we also have to put it into practice. So, Lord, today I'm asking for your grace upon every family here so that we will thrive in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now I want you, before you sit down, I want you to listen to me, because we can pray for you and we can pray that God is going to do some work in your life and God is going to do his part, but you have to do yours as well. And part of us doing our part is going back through this list and looking at all those things. How do I improve? How do I improve? How do I improve? And just say, hey, listen, I'm going to work on these things one thing at a time and begin to improve. And as you're working on it, this is where you want to ask, hey, how am I doing with this? Am I doing better? Are you hearing me sound more thankful than I was before? You see what I'm saying? That's going to be the true measure. And listen, you'll feel it in the atmosphere of your home before you even get a response. You'll feel the change. So God's going to work, but let's make sure that we do our work as well. Amen? Amen. Why don't you guys grab a seat real quick? I never, ever want to end a service without giving someone an opportunity to receive Jesus. So I want to lead you in a prayer this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want you to pray this prayer with me, all of us out loud. Say, dear Lord, I thank you for your forgiveness, that there is nothing that would ever separate me from your love. But I have separated myself from you by making some decisions. And I have sinned and I'm wrong. But I thank you that you love me enough to forgive me. And today I receive it and I make a decision now to follow you. I surrender my life completely to you. I'm no longer living my own way. I'm trusting and following you. So be the Lord and Savior of my life. Make me a new person. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hey, if you pray that prayer today, yeah.